This is Stephanie Benson and Marion Cabot interviewing Alex Jackson for the Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women's Oral History Project 2, January 24th, 1976. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
Nice to have our second session. And it's a beautiful day. Alex, we'd like to hear about your involvement in the community. You played a very special role in the art and the music field. Would you tell us about it, please?
Yes. I think I told you in the last session that really one of the great loves of my life, and to be dramatic about it, has always been music. I always regret that I didn't do it professionally. I never wanted to do that, but I regret that I never continued with my musical education further than I did. I was too much interested in things that kids are interested in and less interested in playing piano. Unfortunately, I never carried it forth. But anyway, I've always been interested in music, and I suppose that from that I developed interest in the other arts. And I suppose that my first community involvement with music was the organization of the Pittsburgh Chamber Music Society, which was about 15 years ago. There was a predecessor organization called the New Friends of Music, which was largely sponsored by the Lewises. I don't know if you know them or not. Dr. Bernard Lewis and his wife, Eunice Norton, who goes by professional name. Was a professional pianist, very, very splendid one. And that was the original chamber music group in which I was on the board, and Ruth was actually interested in that also. In fact, she was membership chairman for a while. But that organization failed. Probably because it was run too much like a private club and didn't involve the community as a whole. So about 15 years ago, five of us, and I don't think we need the other names, but there was somebody from, several people from the University of Pittsburgh.
I'd like the names, if you might.
Well, Edison Montgomery was on the group. He's on the school board now, you know, just appointed the school board. Norman Rice, who was dean of the College of Fine Arts at CMU, is still interested in the organization. A man by the name of Alan Rankin, who at that time was vice chancellor of the University of Pittsburgh under Litchfield, is no longer here. And Nikolai Lopatnikov, who's a composer and was, I guess, head of the music department at CMU. And Donald Steinfurst and myself, I think that was the group. And Donald couldn't officially associate himself with the group because he was a music critic and it would have been a conflict of interest, so he really didn't participate officially. Anyway, we started that, got the sponsorship of the universities, and it's been the purpose was to bring good chamber music to Pittsburgh, and it's been a highly successful operation. Let's see, you were here last, when were you here?
Wednesday.
So I guess I did tell you about the Marvelous concert we had last week, and which was sold out Carnegie Hall, which is unprecedented. Cultural attraction of that kind. Anyway, so I've been on the board or president of the organization at various times since, and I've been intimately involved in it, and I still am.
All right, what's your position now?
I'm chairman of the program committee, so I take the credit for whatever happens there. Oh, I guess I was on the, yes, you forget these things. I was on the original music committee of the Y also. Why concerts first started.
Which were wonderful.
I was either on the first one or the first one.
Are you still interested in the Y?
Well, I'm interested, but I'm not connected with it right now. I was interested in the music community.
That must be a very, very good feeling.
Well, it's very rewarding because it's so successful, and it's bringing a lot of younger people to learn to love that music. From that, I suppose, well, I'll have to say that an engineering education is extremely restrictive, narrowing, confining type of education. I often joke about the fact that for the entire 4 years that I went to Cornell, we were never exposed in those days to anything but technical courses, except, I believe, one English course, which consisted of a Bible course and perhaps maybe one course in economics. But now it's different. It's much more realistic and much broader and more encompassing. But in those days, it was very narrowing. So fortunately, I always loved to read, and I read extensively in other areas and still do. And I became interested in art and, I guess, reasonably knowledgeable about it.
Did someone influence you in that?
Not really.
Mostly reading?
Not really, just reading. Just reading about it. Actually, Ruth was interested in art before I was. But I became more and more and more interested as I went along. I originally got involved in the Three Rivers Arts Festival about 10 years ago, I guess, or 12 years ago, through the musical end. I started as a member of the Performing Arts Committee, and then I got to be chairman of the Performing Arts Committee, which automatically put me on the board. And then eventually I got to be chairman, and I've been chairman for 7 years of it. And I don't want to PR for the Three Rivers Arts Festival, but it's a wonderful Pittsburgh organization which attracts several hundred thousand people to the downtown area every spring. The city officials and the county officials and the Chamber of Commerce and everyone else thinks it's a marvelous thing for the city because it's one of the few cities where something like that can and does take place.
You're still chairman?
Yes, I'm still chairman. I'm trying to find a successor.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
For
being chairman of that wonderful art festival is just marvelous.
I suppose it would be appropriate to say that, that up until probably the time I became chairman, there wasn't a great deal of Jewish community involvement in it. That's not necessarily bad or good. The general community has supported the arts festival generously, economically and otherwise, and it's been museum-oriented. As a matter of fact, it is a satellite organization of Carnegie Institute. But now there are more Jewish people on board.
There are?
Yes. Whom I put on.
Would you like to mention one or two names?
Well, Mike Berger is on the board.
Yes.
Mike, that's Junior.
Yes.
And Jane Lehman. Jane Lehman has been associated with it for a long time, as a matter of fact, before I was, because she was associated with the museum. Kelly Freund has been on the board from time to time. Oh, Debbie Berkman has been on the board now, too. This is Marshall Berkman. Does a very good job, as it has been known. Children's activities area. Anyway, it's a great organization, and it's fun to be associated with. I'm trying very hard to get out. It's time for a younger person to come in, but we're having a difficult time finding somebody else. Anyway, I don't want this to sound like an obituary, but running down a list of organizations.
That's what we would like.
I'm on the Pittsburgh Child Guidance Board. I have had a chance to be active in it because this is a fairly new thing. Oh, yes, I was on the board and vice president of the Pittsburgh Plan for Art for quite a few years.
Any other organizations?
Well, I was president of the Concordia Club. I don't know if that's a community organization.
Well, in a way.
Yes, I was on the Montefiore Hospital Board twice for long periods of time, vice president at one time.
It's enough to keep you very busy, I would say.
Yes, well, the Arts Festival job is a marvelous job for me because it's at least a half or three-quarter time job. It's a really fun job, I think. I suppose there are others, but I can't think of them.
Well, those are wonderful. You retired when you were quite young, so this has been a great thing to keep you very, very busy. Alex, we would like to know, you have children and grandchildren. Would you like to make some comments on contrasting the way you were raised with the way you raised your children?
Well, I think I was very fortunate, as I touched on last time, my family, in fact, I believe even my grandparents, were really far ahead of their time in their approach to life in general. I remember in reading over my father's notes, for instance, that he pointed out that his father, who, that's Henry Jackson, who had no formal education beyond primary school, used to read Shakespeare to the kids when they were very young, and Grandpa was a great reader of Tom Paine, who I see now is very in because Jerry Ford put him in the State of the Union, and Robert Ingersoll and Voltaire and people like that, so that was unusual, and my grandfather had a relaxed attitude towards child raising, and my father and mother did also.
They were quite modern.
I thought they were very modern, and so that we benefited from that. Now, as far as I said earlier off the tape, that I think it's very difficult for parents to decide how to state how they raised their children because their perception of it is quite different from what the children's perception of it would be, and we find that out in talking to them. What's permissive for one generation is restricted for another, and so on. So I can't say that. We tried to be good parents.
They probably thought you were not as permissive as you felt you were being.
No, oddly enough, we've had discussions with our children about it, and one of them at least had the feeling that maybe we were more permissive than necessary, and that she wasn't about to be as permissive as we were. So, as I said, our perception of it was different. But for better or worse, they turned out well, which is entirely a matter of luck, I think, because no magic rules about that. Just do the best you can. Hope that everything turns out well.
Would you like to contrast Pittsburgh today with the Pittsburgh yesterday? You really could do it, socially, culturally. Now, I'm not speaking particularly of the Jewish community. I'd like to get to that in the next question.
It's quite a different city, but then, of course, it's quite different for someone the age of 20 than it is for someone at my age. It's very hard to compare it. I'd say that certainly culturally, it's far, far ahead of what it my younger days, let's take something that I'm oriented towards, the arts, and for instance. Pittsburgh just about had to be the most conservative place in the world with regard to art, and I remember the furor that the old international exhibitions created at Carnegie Institute, where the French Impressionists, as an example, were almost booted out of town, and their works were not purchased, and the critics panned them, and so on.
What years was that early?
Well, the internationals have been going on since the 19th century, I believe. I'd have to look that up, but I know they've been going on for a long, long time. It's an old institution. But certainly when I graduated from, well, just let's say the year we were married, certainly in 1934, they were active back in that period, and they had the old academicians. They were very dull shows indeed. And when Gordon Washburn started to bring in the new people, he had a very hard time. Now, of course, anything goes. Pittsburgh always had a pretty good symphony back in the days when Victor Herbert conducted the symphony. But then again, that entered a period when that went out of operation altogether, and then it started again, shortly before we were married. 45 years ago, the new Pittsburgh Symphony, and of course, you know what that has become, one of the great symphonies in the world. So that, and the art is proliferating in the area.
Don't you think the international was eventually, though, a stimulus to
it? No question about it. It became a tremendous stimulus to Pittsburgh. But art in general, as you can tell by the galleries and the Pittsburgh Grant for Art and Three Rivers Arts Festival and the Associated Artists and the Arts and Crafts Center, which now exists in Pittsburgh, that appreciation of and perception of art is widened a great deal. We did a survey, incidentally, down at the Three Rivers Arts Festival last year. It wasn't as complete as we would have liked, but to try more or less in a demographic survey to see what our audience consisted of. And our audience was basically the average population of Pittsburgh. It was not an elite, sophisticated group. As a matter of fact, a large percentage of the people had never been in an art museum or had been in those other things. You better ask me another question. I'll get off on that subject.
This is exactly what I'd like to hear. No one else is going to.
What are we talking about? I forgot.
The contrast between Pittsburgh and art field and music, and it's very valuable to us, the things you can say.
I'm just really not qualified to contrast something, as I said. Of course, obviously the differences in Pittsburgh while I was growing up, I touched on the last time in the sense that the area in which I live and have always lived, namely Squirrel Hill, has been transformed from almost a farm to Murdoch. Phil, this was a farm, Murdoch Farms. Ruth remembers the Murdoch house, which was right down there. She used to walk to school with a Murdoch girl, and they owned this area. It's been converted from a farm to a rather crowded place, so it's changed in that sense. Other than that, as I told you about the, I touched again on another connection about the changes in the school system, the local high schools were, I'll have to say, probably better quality for whatever reason than they are now. I guess I'm not in the position to state much about the city in general. It's obviously less polluted than it was in my youth, which is a plus. It's still more of a large industry town and ought to be. It would be nice if we had a greater variety of small enterprises in Pittsburgh than we do. Possibly there's been improvement in that area also.
Alex, how do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life in this place in comparison? You grew up in a rather closed German-Jewish society, I would think.
Well, of course, I wasn't aware of it, as young people are not, but we, kids think everybody, have a tendency to think that everybody lives the way they do. We did have a very, I guess you'd call it, tightly knit group. It never occurred to me. to think that they were all German Jewish, but they probably were. We belonged to the clubs and the.
Who do you name them?
Well, the Concordia and the Old Westmoreland Country Club, the Green Oaks, and we went to the camps, summer camps, and those. Things which those organizations which drew predominantly, let's say, from that particular group. And
what camp did you
go? I went to Camp Kennebec. So that, in a way, for those in the group, I suppose, it was pleasant enough because if you visited some strange city, you always knew. Presumably, although I didn't realize at the time, so presumably the same kind of people that you knew at home. That's obviously changed, and there's no question that it's changed for the better, mostly because I told you earlier on that I was trying to find a successor as chairman of the Arts Festival, and one of the reasons for that is that I think it's a very bad principle to perpetuate any kind of management and domination of an organization, and I think that's the great advantage of the spreading of the Jewish community to include all kinds of people and all different backgrounds. It makes a much richer, more interesting.
The Federation is added to that too, because they have a common goal now too. Even